do all that, we go to the Revolution Hotline and talk to BleacherReport.com's Michael Felder. Michael, welcome back.
How you guys doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I am doing all right, man. Took a trip midweek. I'm back home now, just kind of getting back to zero.
Where did you go somewhere fun?
Miami.
That's not bad. Did you
see it? The weather was nice. It was a little bit warmer than I expected, but, you know.
Did you see any heat games?
80 degrees in December.
Did you see any heat games while you were there?
No, I did not. I was there for a quick turnaround, just shooting some video. Actually going to have some pretty exciting stuff up over at Your Best 11 on Bleacher Report soon.
Okay, good deal. Well, all right, scale of 1 to 17. How shocked were you by the Bielema hire at Arkansas?
17. Okay. This is a guy that, I mean, goodness. Whether you go based upon what Arkansas really needs to win and with the way that they were able to see the most success they've seen this decade, or you go based upon things that Brett Bielema said, it kind of just didn't make – I didn't see it coming at all. So I sit there when I see it come across the wire. I kind of sat there in shock. It's going to be an interesting fit. I really think it is. It's one of those things that still, even talking about it now, I'm just thinking, how did these two get in the bed together?
We don't like to use that phrase anymore around here because of past history at Arkansas. But yeah, I got you. We all had the same reaction. I mean, because there were a lot of names thrown around. His name was not one of them. So it was definitely a shock to us. But once you get over that part of it, you look at what he's done. You look at what Arkansas has to offer and understand, certainly, I know you do, the challenges that Arkansas has in playing in the SEC West. What do you think his chances are of being successful?
I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting to see how he creates his staff and what kind of football he plays. I mean, we're talking about a guy that he doesn't have Southern roots. He's not a Southern guy. And I wonder really how much he understands the recruiting angle there and how he's going to work it, because he brings a type of football that in theory is what you want. Defense, run the football. But the problem is going to be he's going to be trying to out-Alabama. He's going to be trying to out-LSU. And he's not going to be able to get those same kids that he was getting. He doesn't have that Midwestern pipeline for those big offensive linemen that he had. And I think one thing you'll see with Norton, and again, I guess we'll get to it with Butch Jones as well, but when they come down into the South, I think there's often a common misconception or a misunderstanding in just how picked over and combed through the recruiting landscape is in the South compared to places north.
Okay, that's a fair statement. I got that. But here's the thing that we talked about a little bit yesterday and nobody had talked about prior to. And there may not be much validity to it, but my thing is you don't spend that long where you are without building some good connections and having some opportunities. Now, yes, he built a fence around Wisconsin better than anybody could have ever hoped. But I got to think that some of the relationships he's built over the last several years in that state and recruiting in Ohio and Pennsylvania, he's going to have an opportunity to get some good recruits to Arkansas that maybe wouldn't have looked at that as an option in the past.
I agree with you 100%. I think kids may keep that as an option, but on the flip side of that, college football is a largely regional sport. Yeah, you get kids that leave to go somewhere else or they take an opportunity. And we look at it, those same kids are still going to get those offers from Wisconsin. They're still going to get those offers, whether it's from Ohio State or Nebraska or Michigan. It's really tough to get kids from the Midwest to go south. And the vice versa is also true. So I think that's going to be the big – but it's going to be very interesting to see how much of that Midwest pipeline he can retain and then how he makes inroads in the South where there is no gentleman's agreement. They're out there really. They're sharks in the water.
Yeah. Well, here's all I would do if I was him. Every recruiting trip, I'd take my wife and go, you know, she's from the South, don't you? To me, that's an easy sell. Okay, so he does have a good connection to Florida, which is good. So, I mean, he does have some inroads built there already. Yes, Pat, you want to make it?
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, he does. I mean, look who we recruited out of there to marry him.
Yes, his wife is from Florida. So, yes, exactly. All right, so, you know, and I actually saw somebody talking about the Butch Jones hire at Tennessee. Clearly, much like the deal at Arkansas, wasn't the person that was first pick, maybe, or at least not the most obvious choice. But somebody made a point. I thought it was a fair point. Cincinnati isn't a southern city necessarily, but it is awfully far south in Ohio. I mean, it's right there across the across the way from Kentucky. So, I mean, it isn't necessarily a southern city, but it's not like he's not aware of the region and the area that he's going to be working in. And I would think that he could make a pretty easy sell to some of the kids in the Cincinnati area, including kids from Kentucky, to come there versus going to Louisville or Kentucky. I mean, that would be there's a lot to sell at Tennessee, I would think.
Yeah, but you're talking about Louisville and Kentucky. That's not who Tennessee wants to compete against.
True.
In terms of recruiting,
maybe Louisville.
If he wants to outsell kids from the Cincinnati area, we're talking about outselling Ohio State. and that's going to be interesting. With Butch Jones, the most interesting thing for me is he's going to be walking into different houses than he has before. Yeah, at Cincinnati, he's not getting in the door of the places where of the kids that Tennessee needs to be able to compete in the SEC. He can't get in that door from Cincinnati. And so how he handles that, Brian Kelly, obviously his mentor, Brian Kelly did a great job of transitioning from never being able to get into these doors to getting in those doors and getting those kids on his football team in Notre Dame. We'll see if Butch Jones has that same sort of effect, because that's what's going to be the key for him. It's one thing to go to Florida or to go to Georgia and tell a kid who has one AA or FCS offers or non-BCS offers to say, hey, why don't you come up to Cincinnati and we'll put you on the team. It's another thing to go into that house where Mark Richt was there the day before, Nick Saban's coming the next day. It's another thing to go there and then outsell those other schools that you're recruiting against in the South, and especially out of state, because Tennessee doesn't produce enough in-state talent to sustain itself.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Michael Felder, BleacherReport.com, joining us in the zone, talking a little college football, and it is going to be interesting to see how he goes, you know, in the near future with that job. But, you know, and I mean, they certainly could have done worse. Something else that stood out to me, too, I'm looking through here, and the guy's 44 years old. You know, we talk about Gus Malzahn, and certainly him going to Auburn is going to have an impact on what happens in the SEC West, and we certainly think he'll do well over time. I'm not sure how immediate that impact can be, but he's a guy that's 47. You look at, I mean, Bielema's 42 years old. That, to me, is young. A guy to have that much success and to be that young is amazing.
Started early.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in a great situation at Wisconsin with Barry Alvarez and getting the work for him and then transitioning into the coaching spot. Brett Bielema was in a great situation. It's going to be very interesting to see, because with the way that he wants to play football and what Arkansas does now and what they have, he's going to be doing a lot of rebuilding and a lot of retooling, and that's going to be interesting to see how he does it when it's his program all the way. Which I think that could have been an impetus to take that job. This is his thing. If they see success, it's going to be based upon Brett Bielema.
What do you think about the Colorado gig? Because certainly that was one that I think it's been widely reported. Butch Jones turned down an opportunity there to have a chance to get in the mix at Tennessee and ultimately accepted that job. What happens there, and what is the issue? Because to me, I mean, it's been a while. I mean, it's been since what we looked at, 90, I guess, since they won a title. They haven't been competitive for a number of years. But to me, it is they've got some things to sell. I mean, it's amazing to me that somebody has not taken the opportunity there. Maybe it's because of the lack of success. Maybe they don't feel like they have an opportunity there. It is kind of a geographic anomaly. It didn't really fit in the Big 12. It doesn't really fit necessarily in the Pac-12 either, although most people think, oh, yeah, it's a good fit. When we look at it where it sits geographically, it's in the middle of nowhere, basically. But what do you think the problem is there, and who do you think ultimately will end up taking that job?
Three things about the Colorado thing. One, they need to prove that they're committed to me if I'm going to take that job. And I'm talking about not just money, but I mean years. I need a guarantee that I'm going to have the time to fix that dump, because it is a dumpster fire. I mean, that's the first thing. Mike Bone, John Embry said it during his presser. Mike Bone, I don't know if you guys got a chance to watch that presser, but it was a joke. It was a 100% joke. There's a point during the presser where Mike Bone, your athletic director, says, irregardless. And that's the guy that's in charge of things. So I think that's number one, competency and commitment. Number two, geography. They've got to get back to recruiting California. They lost Texas. You're not in the Big Ten anymore, Big 12 anymore. You can't recruit Texas the way you used to. So you've got to go west. And what that means is recruiting kids from California. Bill McCartney was able to do that. He was able to get kids from California. He took that line, the same line that Tom Osborne used. Hey, listen, ma'am. Let me take your kid out of L.A. Let me take your kid out of wherever. I'll show him some other places. Let me get him to Colorado. It's a quaint town. We can make it work. They need to get back on that. And the problem for them is going to be, you mentioned 1990. The kids that are going to play college football right now, they don't remember a time when Colorado was good. If they were big into college football when they were young, they might remember Colorado in a Big 12 North Championship and then getting stomped out by Vince Young in Texas. That might be their biggest moment. In the last decade. So it's one of those things. It's going to be hard to get into Colorado. It's going to take a guy that's going to put, you know, you need a 23-hour a day guy that's going to sleep for an hour, live at the office, call kids, go start recruiting kids forever. And the reason why I talk about commitment, and especially in terms of years, you're going to have to get in on the ground floor. The guys that are juniors and seniors right now, they're not going to Colorado. Guys that are freshmen and sophomore right now in high school, you can get them early. You can get them to go to Colorado. It's going to take a lot of things to get that job back. And just to be fair, like who would want that job right now with the uncertainty surrounding firing a guy after 2 years?
Yeah. Well, according to reports, they were offering Butch Jones $2.5 million a year. So it's not like it's a drop in the bucket financially. So they are willing to make a financial commitment. But you're right, it's the number of years because nobody's going to build anything worthwhile in most cases within a year or two. So, what about bowl games wise? I don't know if you started to look at those and start breaking those down. Games that stand out to you outside of the obvious one, I guess, in the national championship game. Some games that jump out at you as things you'll be tuned into to watch.
I'm actually pretty pumped up for the Alamo Bowl, Oregon State, Texas. I think that Mack Brown's seat getting a little warm, but I think if he loses this game to an under-talented Oregon State team, I think things could get hot for him. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be a very interesting one to watch. Sort of the same way that Cal was for them last year. Very interested to see what they do against an Oregon State team. They are better coached than Texas, without a doubt. Mike Riley's a guy who I think should have got a lot of Coach of the Year consideration.
Yeah.
Another one that's on my radar that I'm really looking forward to is the Rose Bowl. I know they lost Brett Bielema, but finally, after a couple Rose Bowls, a couple BCS Bowls, got Stanford and Oregon, Stanford and Wisconsin, two teams that kind of mirror each other. Last year, we saw neither team be able to stop the high-powered speed attack of their opponent. Oregon just did whatever they wanted against Wisconsin on offense. The same thing went for Oklahoma State. Now they've got two teams that they're set up to stop each other. Neither one has a ton of speed to the edge, but they've got a lot of power up the middle. They're going to try to knock each other's heads off. I think Stanford's a little bit better, but that's one of those games that you look at the record, you look at Wisconsin being unranked. Okay, I got it. But the way these teams match up, I think it's going to be a little bit intriguing.
Okay, I like that. And going back to Texas for a moment, we were just mentioning yesterday we talked about the kiss of death, and when somebody from the administration comes out and sings your praises and says you're safe, that means for sure you're not. Well, the president came out yesterday and said, oh, I'm 100% behind Mack Brown. Yeah, watch him get smacked by Oregon State and see how he feels going into the offseason.
Yeah, it's going to be a real long, real scary offseason. And the thing that's going to be interesting, Mack Brown cannot do the sacrificial lamb move again. He already did it. He already got rid of Greg Davis. He already fired him. He's already fired his strength and conditioning guy. He's done. He's already bailed water out of his boat. The next bad thing that happens is going to fall on him, and it could be losing this bowl game, especially losing in embarrassing fashion.
Yeah, he's unfortunately on the Chizik model. He's already retooled his coordinators. The next thing is, you gots to go, big fella. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the years. You can have a position in the administration. We'll move you into the front office, big fella.
You know, when a really down TCU squad comes into Austin and puts a beat down on those guys on Thanksgiving evening, that had to kill those alums and those boosters.
Let me just say this, too.
Yeah.
There are very few places in America that I've been less intimidated by than Austin, Texas. I'm amazed. We went down there in 01 with Arkansas, and they had all this hype, and they had Roy Williams and all this stuff. That place is not intimidating whatsoever.
Now, too many hippies.
You can lose your focus checking out cheerleaders and chaps, but, I mean, there is nothing intimidating about that place whatsoever. So, anyway.
I've heard a lot of the same things about it. I tell you what, though, I wouldn't mind if Mack Brown came back to my school in North Carolina and was our athletic director.
Yeah, that's
true.
I
wouldn't mind that one bit.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So what's –
who's your head coach out there?
Larry Fedora. He actually reportedly turned down
the
Tennessee job.
That's right. The hat man. We love him. Well, hey, look, it's nice to be wanted, and that's good for North Carolina. I guess the people are interested in him, so you get that going for you. Well, Michael, we appreciate it. We'll get you on here in a couple weeks, and we'll start breaking down some of these bowl games that matter. Of course, we are, 8 days away from the first bowl game, and then we'll start getting into some of the more intriguing matchups as we go through. But appreciate the time today, and we will talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Looking forward to it. I love the bowl games. I love all of them. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
I'm with you. I don't care if it's dumpy or not. I love them all, too. All right. Thanks, Michael. Appreciate it.
You guys take it easy.
All right, Michael Felder, BleacherReport.com, does a great job. A couple things. Charlie Strong talking about turning down the Tennessee game.